I think it's just vapor.
Vaping is safer than smoking, isn't it?
One vape pod has as much nicotine as one pack of cigarettes. Get your head out of the cloud. Talk to your kid about vaping. Visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, July 7th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. $70 million. That's the amount hackers want to reverse a cyber attack that began Friday and has impacted hundreds of small and medium-sized businesses and tens of thousands of computers worldwide. On today's episode, Dustin Volz, who covers cybersecurity for The Wall Street Journal, discusses the attack and what makes it different from some of the other recent high-profile attacks. That's after these headlines. The Pentagon is scrapping plans for a major cloud computing project known as JEDI. The original $10 billion contract was won by Microsoft in 2019, but it faced criticism from lawmakers and legal challenges from Amazon. Those challenges led to delays in a project that officials say is important to the future of U.S. military defense. Here's our reporter, John McKinnon.
The enterprise cloud idea is an important one for the Defense Department because they gather so much information that's useful for troops on the front lines as well as for planners back at the Pentagon. It's also going to help the United States build its platform for defense-related artificial intelligence, which people think is going to be an important tool in the future. So it is an important fight. It's not just about, you know, money and big companies.
Instead of JEDI, the Pentagon says it will begin accepting bids for a new project known as Joint Warfighter Cloud Capability. That's expected to be awarded next spring. China is seeking to tighten data sharing rules for homegrown companies that hope to list on overseas stock exchanges. The announcement comes days after Chinese authorities said they launched data security reviews of three U.S.-listed Chinese companies, including ride-hailing firm Didi, which went public last week. Our China correspondent, Lingling Wei, says this is putting companies looking to raise money in the U.S. in a difficult position.
For Chinese companies seeking to list in the U.S., especially technology-related companies, is becoming increasingly impossible for them to satisfy the demands from both Chinese regulators and U.S. regulators. Based on our reporting, American securities regulators are also trying to get Chinese companies to disclose more to improve transparency. And on the other hand, you see China basically is trying to tighten the restrictions over what can be disclosed by Chinese companies if they want to list overseas. So it's really very difficult situation. How do you satisfy both at the same time?
In the short term, bankers say any Chinese company's plan for a U.S.-listed IPO in the coming months is likely to be shelved for now. And an industry group that includes Facebook, Twitter, and Google's parent company Alphabet have warned the Hong Kong government that they could stop offering their services in the city if authorities proceed with planned changes to data protection laws. The changes could make social media platforms liable for the malicious sharing of individuals' information online, known as doxing. The companies say they're concerned their employees could face prosecution for what users put on their platforms. All right, coming up, a Russian hacking group is once again at the center of a widespread ransomware attack. But this time, it's small mom-and-pop businesses that are the victims. We'll have the details after the break.
Adapting to change is more important than ever. That's why over 45% of the Fortune 500 rely on Workday, the enterprise cloud that prepares you for what's next. Workday. The finance, HR, and planning system for a changing world.
Computers at schools in New Zealand, cash registers at a Swedish grocery chain, and hundreds of small and medium-sized businesses in the U.S. were all among the victims of a ransomware attack that began on Friday. Nearly 1,500 businesses that use a program called VSA from the enterprise software vendor Kaseya and those companies' customers were likely impacted. Kaseya's chief executive says it's working to restore services and release a patch to users that'll fix the issues that were exploited by the hackers. The attack is one of the most widespread ransomware strikes to date, and it comes at a time when concern about hacking is at an all-time high, following ransomware attacks that hit Colonial Pipeline and the world's largest meat producer, JBS. Joining us to discuss this latest hack and what it means for the companies affected is our cybersecurity reporter, Dustin Volz. Hi, Dustin.
Hi, thanks for having me.
At the heart of this massive attack is a firm called Kaseya. Can you tell us what the company does and how that led to such a large data breach?
Yeah, so Kaseya is a not very well-known software company that provides other companies, typically either large enterprise clients or managed service providers, software that helps them in turn manage networks and computer systems for end users. So in other words, they're a company helping other companies run the technology of, you know, mom and pop stores, not just around the United States, but around the world.
And how did that system running software for these mom and pop companies, for small and medium sized businesses, how did that lead to such a large data breach?
We're not entirely sure exactly how this ransomware attack unfolded, but what we do know is that Kaseya's customers, those that use its software, were implicated in the attack. And then the hackers appear to have infected those customers of Kaseya and then used that access to then leapfrog to other end customers. This is a broad-based attack affecting, you know, hundreds of different victims, you know, medium and small scale, largely companies across the globe. And the reason that it is so big is because the hackers here basically engaged in what is known as a supply chain attack. In other words, they are corrupting a system that is used widely by other people in order to keep their operations, their technology running.
It sounds like a bit of a spider web to me. You know, you've got Kaseya at the center and then these managed service providers outwards and then even farther outwards, these small to medium sized companies that are being affected. But I wonder if you're, you know, a small business who needs to rely on third party providers for software, you know, how is it that you can ensure your own cybersecurity when you have to deal with another provider who may be the victim of the attack themselves?
This is a very difficult problem. One of the reasons that small companies often do rely on managed service providers to outsource their technology needs is because they just simply don't have the staff or the know-how to do it themselves. And in some cases, that can be really great. Managed service providers do provide a host of tools and services that can be very effective and very helpful to medium-sized and small-sized organizations. But the problem is you can't necessarily guarantee that everything that they're going to be working with on the other side is also going to be protected. So, it just sort of creates more opportunities for infiltration for hackers. This was actually something carried out by hackers affiliated with the Chinese government a couple of years ago in the sort of a notorious campaign known as Cloud Hopper. And their real focus was getting the managed service providers, and then once they broke in there, turning around and trying to unlock as many doors in the apartment complex, so to speak, in order to sort of steal all the goods that they wanted from any of the companies who were relying on those service providers. So it's a very difficult problem. The best thing that, you know, companies can do is sort of be aware of who their suppliers are, where their software is coming from, and if and when there is an alert, either, you know, in the headlines or from government agencies like the FBI or the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, to check and see if your organization is relying on that affected software and to apply the appropriate patches and other mitigation steps that are suggested.
And we should say that we've heard from a Kaseya spokeswoman who said that hackers were able to exploit existing vulnerabilities, but that the company is working to address them and offer a patch to its clients. But that's the victim side. What do we know about this group that launched the attack, R-Evil? Who are they and what do they want?
Yeah, R-Evil or Reval, as they're sometimes called, is sort of a very high-profile ransomware group in Russia. They, like other ransomware groups, sort of, you know, are operating with impunity because the government there under Vladimir Putin just basically turns a blind eye to these organizations as long as they don't disrupt Russian companies. So these guys have targeted scores of companies in recent years and made off with millions of dollars. They are also the same hackers that recently were behind the attack on the meat distributor JBS. So these guys are prolific. They are very good and professional in what they do. And it seems that they are not looking to slow down anytime soon with their ransomware attacks.
You mentioned the attack on JBS a couple weeks ago. Given the size of that attack and now this one, does it seem like the hackers are becoming, you know, more aggressive as time goes on?
In terms of, you know, are they slowing down or keeping up? I mean, certainly, you know, after the summit between President Biden and Russian President Putin, there was a hope that that could lead to some sort of detente or some sort of ceasefire, at least temporarily. But, you know, these are criminal groups that are not, at least as far as we know, directly controlled by the Kremlin in any way. So I sort of am skeptical that criminals are going to like look at a stern finger wag from the government and sort of decide, oh, well, you know, because of that, we're going to stop stealing all this money because it's an incredibly lucrative enterprise that they engage in.
Okay, so have we heard anything about what authorities are going to do to address this attack?
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said Tuesday that conversations between high-level national security staff on the U.S. and Russian side are ongoing. But this is a problem that several administrations have had to deal with now, going all the way back to, you know, really the Bush administration. And, you know, Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea, whether or not it's, you know, state-backed hackers or criminal hackers that, you know, operate from within, you know, seemingly don't really want to stop doing what they're doing. Again, President Biden on Tuesday said, you know, their view is that this has caused minimal damage to U.S. businesses, but that they're still in the process of gathering information. So, you know, I think there's a sense among a lot of officials in the government that they hope this problem does, you know, lead to some reconciliation with Russia on cyber issues. But, you know, if past is prologue, I don't think anybody is particularly optimistic about that coming to pass.
So where does that leave these small companies if the finger wagging from the government isn't getting anywhere with cyber criminals? What do small and medium-sized businesses do to protect themselves?
Well, there are the basics. They need to, you know, do things like, you know, just install software updates when they're available, as soon as they're available, make sure that they're using, you know, strenuous passwords, passphrases, and that sort of thing. But, you know, it's a difficult problem. And I think, you know, business owners are frustrated that they are told basically they have to defend themselves when they're sort of going up against, you know, really sophisticated criminal syndicates and the full force of, you know, foreign intelligence agencies in some cases.
That's our reporter, Dustin Volz. Thanks, Dustin.
Thanks so much.
And that's it for today's episode of Tech News Briefing. You can always find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like this show, please rate and review us. You can do it wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.